Shulchem HaBoyim to another week of Parsha Insights, Parashas Emor. In an almost sold-out crowd here in the Heichal, but we know there is a Heichal, many listening live, and many who will be Ezes Hashem here when it's sent out. The Shira said, L'zecha Nishmas U'le'ilei Nishmas, Rebecca Bas Serina and Leon Ben Rachel, may their Neshama Tahiris have a lichtegigane, that I'm so grateful to all the participants in the different ways each and every week for Parsha Insights. And hopefully, as I say very often, the point is, number one, of course, to have more insights and to know the Parsha better. But it's also to bring added Kedusha to our Shabbos, which means if you're hearing the words right now, and you'll remember at some point over Shabbos to say it over at the table as a Dvar Torah, to share it with a family member, tell it over to somebody in shul, speak about it over Shabbos, that will, be'ezus Hashem, bring added Kedusha Tar Shabbos Kodesh. If you remember last week, what was interesting, in Achimois and Kedoshim, we had two Parshios. We spoke about the beginning of the Parsha. Well, it's true this week we only have one Parsha, Parshas Emor. Really, the entire Shir is based on the first Pasuk. Just in the first Pasuk, in and of itself, there's such an incredible amount to say. This past Shabbos, I mentioned this Kliyoka. And it's actually relevant to the first Pasuk in Emor. I'd like to begin with it, I think. It is such a powerful, powerful, powerful pshat. I think it's one that it would serve us well to live by. If you take a look at the opening parsha, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Emor lakonim b'nei Aaron v'amarta lehem. And then it says, L'nefesh l'yitama ba'amov, speaking to the Kohanim, telling them their laws, that you cannot become tamei to a dead person. And then there are other halachos specific to a kohen. Many point out, as does the Kli Yakar, linguistically, you have to wonder what's taking place in this pasuk grammatically. Hashem spoke to Moshe, Emar el ha-kohenim b'nei Aharon, speak to the kohenim, the sons of Aaron, va'amarta aleihem, and say to them. You just went from the word emor to the word va'amarta, but apparently there was no tzivoy, there was no command. Nothing was said what you should say to them until after the second va'amarta. Again, the opening va'yomer is Hashem speaking to Moshe. Then comes the command to Moshe. Emor el ha-kayanim b'nei Aharon, this is what you should say to the Kohen and the sons of Aaron, v'amarta aleihem, and say to them, essentially you went from that word emor to the word v'amarta, but in between the two sayings, seemingly nothing was said. It was only said after the last word, v'amarta. So grammatically, how could you explain a question that seems to be such a glaring question, nothing said between the word emor and marta? And the Kli Yakar tells us so powerfully, you should actually put quotation marks around the two words, B'nei Aharon. In other words, we read it as, Emor el ha-kayanim, I said this is past Shabbos, speak to the kayanim, B'nei Aharon, meaning to say, the kayanim who are the sons of Aaron. No, says the Kli Yakar. Emor el ha-kayanim, what is it that you should say to the kayanim? B'nei Aharon. You are sons of Aaron HaKoyei. Do you realize how special you are? Do you realize how unique you are? In other words, he was telling Moshe to tell the Kohanim that they have to realize, emphasize, and understand their incredible power, their great responsibility. It's mamash a game changer. Do not read the words as Emor HaKohanim b'nei Aaron, speak to the Kohanim, the sons of Aaron. Emor HaKohanim, speak to the Kohanim. What should you say to them? What should you say to them? What you should say to the Kohanim is those two words, quote, end quote, b'nei Aharon, your sons of Aaron, do you know who you come from? Do you know how unique you are? Do you know how extraordinary you are? Do you know what you can accomplish? Now that I told you your awesome responsibility, now let me give you the list of things that apply to a kohen. Like the first one, don't become tamei to a dead person. Now that is an extraordinary pshat from the Kli Yakar. The message that Moshe was to say to the kohenim was this two-word message, B'nai Aharon. Do you know who you are? Do you know where you come from? Do you know what you could accomplish? And now that that was said, now let me do the next Zamarta, the list of rules. I was very taken by that pshat from the Kli Yachar for a number of reasons. Firstly, how often have we spoken about that concept in our Parsha Insights over the years? The importance of building someone up. The importance of a person knowing their awesome responsibility, emphasizing to a person what they can accomplish. I want to bring you what I think. We mentioned it this past week in Pirkei Avos. Hashem allowed me to come up with the following chiddush. And I think it ties in beautifully to the Kli Yachar we just said. In other words, the Kli Yachar is telling us, of course, in this case, it applies to Kehanim. But to whoever it is that you're addressing and you're about to say something to them, to give them a command, maybe it's a student, maybe it's a child, maybe it's a spouse, maybe it's a sibling, maybe it's someone that you're working with, whoever it might be. But even before you start telling them what it is that you want, here's the first thing you should tell them. Quote, end quote, B'nai Aharon, B'nai Aharon, B'nai Aharon. Do you know where you come from? Do you know how special you are? I must emphasize to you your great responsibility and what you've got to accomplish. Now that you heard that, now let's talk specifics. So I thought we could say in Pirkei Avos this past week, Perek Gimel, there's a very famous Mishnah, Akavya ben Mahalala. It's an extremely famous Mishnah, tells us that you should contemplate three things, and by contemplating these three things, you won't come to do an Aveira. I imagine it's a Mishnah that most of us have done dozens of times. One of the most famous Mishnah is certainly. Now, talk about grammar and linguistics. There's something that seems to be difficult to understand with the Mishnah. Let me read it to you quickly. The Mishnah says, Histakel b'shloish dvarim, a person should contemplate three things. Ve'na toboli de'aveir, and he won't come to the hand of an aveir. Dah, he has to know. Ma'ayin bosa, ula'on atahoylech, three things you need to know: where you came from, where you're headed, and in front of whom you will stand. Then the Mishnah repeats the questions, but gives an answer after each one. May I embustle, where did you come from? May tipa srucha, from a small drop. Where is everyone headed? Then claim upper rima besaleh, to a place teeming with worms and maggots. And in front of who do we give an accounting and a judgment? Let me explain this to you simply. If a person is taking a test, there's one of two options what the test questions and answer will look like. I'll either present you question, and then answer. Option number two, QA. But those are the only two options that would seem to make sense. Yet the Mishnah is clearly not doing that formula. The Mishnah first starts off by giving you question. No answers are given, none. So then I would expect now the Mishnah to give me answer. That's not what the Mishnah does. You know what the Mishnah does now? Repeats the first question, gives an answer. Repeats the second question, gives an answer. Repeats the third and gives the answer. What is the Mishnah seeming to tell us? If the Mishnah was giving the answers, then do QA. And if the Mishnah already provided the three questions without any answers, now give me the three answers. Why did the Mishnah start by giving the three questions, no answers, and then repeat everything, question and answer, three times over? How do you understand that? A number of years ago, we gave what I think is a beautiful answer. This year, in Pirkei Avos, this past Shabbos, I brought a raya to it. First, let me share with you the answer we said a few years ago. You know, Rabbi, if you take a look at Akavya's answers, they're very much shock and awe. They're very much meant to really set us straight, frighten us to a degree. May I emboss us? May tipa srucha, from a small drop. La'ana tahayle? To a place teeming with worms and maggots. In front of whom do you have to give a heavenly accounting? Melech Malchim Lachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The point is, to keep us on the proper path, and yes, to have us right, and then to realize there is this extreme accountability and to know the answers to those questions. That's what a kavya is accomplishing. Maybe the first time the Mishnah says that a kavya asked the questions, but provided no answers. Maybe the reason why seemingly and ostensibly no answers are provided is for it's up to every individual, me and you, you and me, all of us individually, to provide our own answers to those questions. And I want to make it clear. You, Baruch Hashem, just arrived to town for a beautiful simcha. Your answers will not be my answers. My answers will not be your answers. Those three questions that are asked, where did you come from, where are you headed, in front of whom are you eventually going to stand, they don't have answers because maybe before you get to Akavya's answers, before you get to the second half of the mission, Akavya wants to say, stop, stop. Self-introspection. Think about those questions and you give your own answers. The answers that apply to you, but not to you, and the ones that apply to you don't apply to me. So the next time you look at the first half of the Mishnah, you should see answers. But those answers are very personal for you. Those answers are tailor-made for you because what works for you is not for me. And allow me to explain. Maybe these answers that we have to each give based on where we are at our station in life, it's not a obvious types of answers where there's shock and awe and really to keep us in a state of pachad or certainly to set us straight. Maybe these answers, before you get to his answers, provide your own answers. Answers of, oh, I'll tell you what answers of. Answers like the Kliyakar, B'nei Aharoim, B'nei Aharoim, B'nei Aharoim. Where you tell yourself things of encouragement, where you tell yourself things of positive, the ability to emphasize innate greatness. Allow me to explain. How about if I answer that first question a little bit differently? May I in Bosa? You want to know where I came from? I look back at my family. I look back at grandparents, I look back at Rabbeim, I look back at my Rosh HaYeshiva. I look back at so many people who may have helped to shape or mold my life or your life. And when you think about that, number one, that's a tremendous, tremendous sense of, you know, I feel I have the power to accomplish. Additionally, it's an awesome responsibility. And for everyone, the answer is going to be different. One may look towards a parent, one to a grandparent, one to a Rebbe, to a Rosh Hashiva, to a relative. Everyone's may I in Bosa has to be tailor-made. It's a personal answer. Where are you headed? Where you're headed? I'm headed. You're headed. You're headed. We have many people, like I said, here in the Heichal listening live. Many people here when it's sent out. I want everybody to ask themselves that question. Where are you headed? What are your she'ifas? What is it that you want to accomplish? Make a goal for yourself. I would like to accomplish this, and I would like to finish this. I'd like to do this maybe in 6 months and in a year, and here's where I'd like to be and what I'd like to accomplish. Everyone's la'ana tahayle is drastically different. But that's the beauty, my friends, of these answers. And in front of whom do I have the privilege to stand? Do you know Hashem has a personal relationship with every one of us? We said it a few weeks ago when we did Parshas Kedoshim. I say just last week, we spoke at the beginning of Kedoshim. We asked the question, why does it say Ani Hashem Elokeichem after each level of Jew? Remember, we just did that last week. And we explained to tell us no matter who you are, what station of life you're in, Hashem relates to you. Hashem is there for you. Hashem is constantly involved in your life. In front of whom do I have the privilege to stand? Melech Malchei, I'm welcome to Kodesh Baruch Hu, an awesome responsibility. But what a privilege. So you see, Rabbi Yisai, I really believe that's what the Mishnah is teaching us. Before you get to Akavya's answers, Q&A, 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 first apply your own answers. So the next time you look at that mission, you think that three questions were asked about any answers? Oh no, on the contrary, the answers are there. They're your answers. They're answers that are personal and tailor-made for you. I challenge you, reread that Mishnah And as you go through the first three questions, stop and answer each one for your particular life. May I embossa where I came from? How did I get to where I am? To whom do I owe such gratitude and akaras hatayim? And therefore, that's a huge responsibility, but I know I can do it. Where I'm headed, this is what I want to accomplish. I will not settle for 10 cents on the buck. And who am I privileged to stand in front of? Wow, how fortunate we are. So I believe the answers are there. You just have to look for them. I'll bring you an additional raya that what we just said I believe is true. I realize I have the Mishnah open in front of me, and most of you don't. Although at this point, people who are listening are going to run and get a Mishnah to look inside. Pirkei Avos, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Aleph. But you don't have to. I want to ask you. I would almost challenge you if it wasn't live. I did it this past Shabbos, and I asked those people, I'm going to start the Mishnah, you continue. Histako b'shleisha dvar v'ena taboli de'aveira. Contemplate three things and you'll stay away from the handle of an aveira. Tell me the next word. Almost everyone says the next word is may I embossa. Where did I come from? That's not true. The Mishnah adds one two-letter word, da. Da is from the word you must know. Most people gloss over that word. They don't even realize that word is there. When you ask people to rattle off the Mishnah, more often than not, they'll say, Yistakha b'shleish d'var v'ena tabole de'avera. Me'ayin v'asa. That's not true. Stop! There's the word da. Now, I saw many ask the question, what is that word da doing there? It would seem to be out of place. I'll tell you why. The word da means you should know. But if you already opened up the Mishnah by saying the word histakel, histakel means to contemplate. So it seems like histakel and da are both doing the same thing. And if they're both doing the same thing, why do you need both? There are many fabulous answers. Time doesn't allow us to go into them, but at least you hear the question strongly. If you said histakel b'shleitzer dvarim, look and contemplate three things, then what is the word da, which most people anyways gloss over, coming to teach us? I'd like to suggest the following chiddush that Hashem allowed me to think of. A few years ago, we set a pshat in Ashrei, in the Lamed of Ashrei. I'll tell you, the pshat is so incredible that it's almost impossible to say Ashrei and the Lamed without thinking of this pshat. Now, of course, you have to think of the regular pshat, but this is an additional one. What does the Lamed say? L'hoidia, l'vnei ha'odom, gilureisov. Literally, that means, we say it three times a day in Ashrei the Lamed, Lohidia, to let man know, Lohidia levnei adam, to make it known to man, Givuroisav, his Givura. Whose Givura? Hashem's Givura, capital H. That's the way everyone translates those words. Lohidia levnei adam Givuroisav, to make it known to man, his Givura, capital H, Hashem's Gevura. But a few years ago, we said over a beautiful pshat, and I once had a chance to write this up in the Inyan magazine in the Torah article, that maybe Gevuraisa, when it says his Gevura, could also be the H with the lowercase letter. Every person must know Gevuraisa, his own Gevura, his own strength, his own capabilities and abilities. And now that you know Givuraisa, your strength and your abilities, now we can continue Ashrei, and we also understand the Gvura of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is such a powerful, powerful pshat. I'm going to challenge you because it's so going to become part of your Ashrei that when you say Lamed now, you're going to think of that pshat as well. Of course, the regular pshat, I've already told you twice, Gevuraisa refers to Hashem's Gevura, but we're translating it to mean, Lohidia levnei adam, teach a person, every person should know Gevuraisa, his own Gevura, his own power, his own kaychais, tenuais, capabilities. Wow. And now that you believe in your own Gevura, you could accomplish a great amount. Rabbi Sai, what was the opening word of that pasuk? Lehoidia, 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 lehoidia. Everyone has to know their own Gevura. The shayrish of the word lehoidia, the root, is da, the dalet, and the ayin. It's the same word. da lohidia, lohidia da. Maybe when our Mishnah Pirkei Avos says contemplate three things, maybe Akavya is telling us, stop a minute, stop. Before you start contemplating and asking the questions, da. Da, a reference to the word lohidia, to remind you, you should know. What should you know? What is the da? What do I need to know? I need to know my own gevura. So maybe that word da, which many people gloss over, is such a critically important word because it's Akavya's way, it's the Mishnah's way of telling us before you start, da, you have to know, da, you have to recognize, da, you have to emphasize your koichos, your gevura, who you are. And now let's re-answer those questions. May I in Basa? Don't anybody tell me the answer, because that is your own personal answer, as it is for the next two, and we already said a few times how each of the set of those answers is very personal and very positive, but it's based on the idea of da, da meaning lohidia. You have to know your givur, your strength, what you're capable of, and now you could ask yourself those questions of Akavya. But make sure that you give very positive and very upbeat answers. A few weeks ago, when we were talking in our Shabbos Hagadol Drasha, we explained in Echad Miyodea a similar idea. And when I realized that singing the Chagad, your Echad Miyodea, may make us think we're a month later, 11 months early, but it's certainly appropriate to reference something at the end as the Seder night is coming to an end. We sing Echad Miyodea. Now, of course, Echad Miyodea, that means, as we said from Rabbi Avram Gurwitz, that when you say Echad Miyodea, the first thing that should come to your mind, one, you know what I associate one with? I don't associate it with a food or a song. I associate it with Hashem. And when I say two, I associate it with the Luchas. And when I say three, I associate it with the Olas. Four, the Emois, five, the Torah. In other words, it's association. When I throw at you a number, that should be the first thing that comes to your mind. Not a food, not a song, not an item, but these things. But we suggested, before this powerful song starts, the opening words are Echad Miyodea. There's that word Yodea again, from the word Da, from the word Lahodia. And maybe what the Haggadah is teaching us is, as the night of the Seder is coming to an end, here's the last question you have to ask yourself. Echad. Now, of course, Echad is a reference to Hashem. Of course. But maybe I'll be drush homiletically. We could explain, based on our shir so far tonight, Echad, you're the Echad. I'm pointing at you. You're the Echad, and I'm pointing at you, and you, and you. Each of you are the Echad. I'm pointing at myself as an Echad. And the Baal Haggadah says, ask yourself the following question. Echad mi yodea. Who are you? Do you know who you are? At the end of this Seder night, when you had a night of emunah, a bonding with family, before you play all of the association, here's the question I'm asking you. Echad is, of course, Hashem, but maybe homiletically it could also mean you're the Echad. Echad mi yodea? Do you know yourself? Do you know who you are? Mi yodea! Do you know what you could accomplish, like the word in Pirkei Avos, da, or like Ashrei Lohidia? Again, all of those words are reference to what you could have accomplished. And now that's the way to end the night of the Seder. Echad mi yodea. Do you know, you as an Echad, do you know who you are? Do you know yourself? Do you know what you're capable of? And then the Haggadah tells us to know how well you're doing. Echad to you should mean Hashem, two should mean the Luchos, three should mean the Avos, four should mean the Imois, five should be the Torah, six should be the Mishnayos, seven should be Shabbos, eight should be Milah, etc. That is the answer. But stop by the question, Echad mi yodea, do you know yourself? Yodea, do you know what it is that you could accomplish? If you think about it, Rabbi Isai, this is so much about the days of Svira. First of all, it's interesting to know, in case one is already thinking about it in their own mind, we know that during Sfira, the Torah tells us we count Chamishim Yom. In other words, Pesach Teshuvah Chamishim Yom. Of course, we know that it means we count Sheva Shabbosos Tamimos. We count 7 full weeks, 49 days, and the 50th day is Shuas. The word Mi, Mem Yud, has the gematria of 50. Mem is 40, Yud is 10, is 50. So maybe what it means is, Echad Mi Yodeya. How does a person truly find out who they are, what they're capable of? How does a person truly become in touch with themselves to know who they are? Yodeya, the answer is Mi. Mi, we said, Mem Yud is the gematria of 50. The 50 days from Pesach to Shavuos, Sfiras HaOmer, counting to the Torah, every one of those days that brings us closer and closer and closer and closer to finally being able to receive the Torah, striving in Torah day by day, greatness in Torah, attaching yourself to Torah on whatever level, now that is the way. In fact, don't we know that Chazal say, Histakel b'Oraisa Bara Alma, which literally means, look into the Torah, it's the blueprint of the world, right? Histakel b'Oraisa Bara Alma, you look into the Torah, it's the blueprint of the world. Rabbi Yisai, on many occasions we have said that every person is an Olam Katan. Every person is their own world. You're a world. You're a world. Every one of us is our own Olam Katan, our own small world. So maybe when it says Histakel b'Oraisa, delve into the Torah, because from that the world was created and you'll see the entire world, maybe it means we will see our world. Each of us, we're an Olam Katan. You know that. You're an Olam Katan. I'm an Olam Katan. Every one of us, our world in and of ourselves, to ourselves. When you delve into the Torah, when you attach yourself to the Torah, that's the way to find out who you are. The true you. Echad mi yodeya. Who are you? Do you know what you could accomplish? Me, from, as we said a moment ago, the letter Mem Yud, referencing the 50 days. As we go from Pesach to Shavuos and we count day after day, approaching Kabbalah Satira, the climb toward Kabbalah Satira to making it a greater part of ourselves, that's how we realize how privileged we are, and it helps us emphasize our incredible responsibility. That's very much the idea of Lag Ba'omer as well. Next week, Be'ezus Hashem, Haba Aleinu L'Tayva Klal Yisrael will be celebrating Lag Ba'Omer. And we've spoken out a number of times. Lag Ba'Omer is a reference to the, one thinks about the Eish, the fire. Every person, we've said many times, has that Eish, that fire, that passion, that bren within them. It is that Eish HaTorah. One of the classic pshatim we've said countless times. In Hebrew, in Lashon HaKodesh, the noun goes first, then the adjective. Bayis gadol, yelev katan. In English, it's the opposite. You have small boy, big house, the adjective goes first. But if in Lashon HaKodesh first goes the noun, then when the Torah describes, when the Torah is described in Sefer Devarim, it's called Eish Dos, a fiery law. But if the noun goes before the adjective, it should be called Dos, Eish. Dos is a law, Eish is fire. First goes the noun, then the adjective. The great Rav Shaga Feilman, the Lovitz, the Chazaner Kol Shel Bracha, used to say so powerfully, no, no, no. Eish is not merely a description. Eish has to be our noun. Eish has to be our essence. Eish represents a fire, a belief, a passion, a vivaciousness, a hislavus. That cannot merely be your adjective and description. It must be your noun. It must be your essence. It must be who you are. And therefore, Torah is described not as dosh eish, but as eish dos. In other words, in the slot of the noun, our essence, our mahus, is eish. That's Lag Ba'Omer. One thinks about Lag Ba'Omer. One thinks about the Zohar. One thinks about all of the fire that certainly surrounds Lag BaOmer, it's that Eish that is our essence. It is who we are. When a person has at their core, and by the way, it works out very beautifully because our name is Yisrael, Yud Shin Resh Aleph Lamed, and two of the central letters, the second and the fourth letter, a Shin and an Aleph, when spelled backwards, is indeed the word Eish. For the center of Yisrael, the center of who we are is Eish, that passion, that vivaciousness, that fire, that brand, that sense of purpose. When we do that, we're able to answer who we are. I realize that I challenged the Olam earlier, but I think it's a really great challenge to take. The next time you open up that Mishnah, da, from the word lohidia levnei adam gvuroisav, da, from the word echad mi yodea. And when you think positively about who you are and what you could accomplish, I want you to look in your Mishnayos, in your Siddur, in your Pirkei Avos, and I want you to see your own custom-tailored answers, because I won't see them and you won't see mine. But yours will be there for you. And that may Ayin Bus, as we said already twice, is so positive. The people that I have to show appreciation to that brought me to where I am, and therefore their great expectations, where I'm headed. Do you know what I could accomplish? Do you know, as we said, Mi Yodea, if the person takes the 50 days from Sfirah to Kabbalah Sotayra, making that a part of you could accomplish great things. In front of whom you're privileged to stand. Now that is a terrific, terrific way to answer those questions. And that brings us, as we conclude this year, to the way we started with the Kli Yakar. There doesn't seem to be any saying between Emarva and Marta. After all, it just seems to say, speak to the Kayanim or B'nai Aharon. No, says the Kli Yakar. The most important thing that those Kohanim need to hear and need to believe and need to hear and need to believe is B'nai Aharon, B'nai Aharon, B'nai Aharon. Do you know who you are? Do you know where you came from? Do you know where you're headed? Do you know the awesomeness of your responsibility? And now that you know all of that, let me give you the list of laws. While we in the Heichal, or many listening, or many will listen, may not be Kohanim, the majority probably are not. But the lesson of the Kli Yakar is identical for every one of us. Before we start talking to a spouse, a child, a sibling, a student, before we start talking to ourselves, remind yourselves, B'nai Aharon, do you know who I come from? Do you know the great past? Do you know what I could accomplish? And now that you have firmly entrenched that in your heart, now have a conversation with yourself. May we be zeiche to give the most fabulous answers to those questions that we thought of until now, till this year. We didn't think there were answers. Oh, there are incredible answers that each of us have to those questions. And may we be zeiche, therefore, to accomplish our potential, to appreciate and bring out our innate greatness as we approach Kabbalah HaTorah, as we approach even sooner Lag BaOmer, and may the fire within us bring about the fire of the third and everlasting Beis HaMikdash, b'mheira b'yameinu, amen.
Thank you.